Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the instant reaction show where myself, Kenneth Arthur, and Blaine the Fiasco Didasco get together right after every LA Rams game. And so far, Blaine, we are 3 for 3, only talking about wins this year. I hope that's okay with the rest of the league. But by the way, Blaine, you know, we got a special report today. Because, you know, you are at the game. You experienced Buccaneers at the Rams at SoFi Stadium. How was the crowd today? Because it sounded as though it was good.
It was good. It was good. It was electric. And I tell you what, man, it was one for Rams fans. It was a game for football fans and a little bit for Bucs fans until the Rams got the edge. But there was a lot of everything. But the energy was electric, especially as the game went on and the Rams started to take control.
Yeah. Well, how can you describe, since we're, you know, the Rams win 34-24, how would you describe the first quarter atmosphere, really, like those, that beginning of that game when, you know, there's a lot of anticipation, everything's in doubt. We don't know who's going to get the upper hand. In the first quarter, there was no scoring. So what was the atmosphere like?
Yeah, first quarter was tense. First quarter was tense. And I think the first quarter was probably reflective of what most of us were expecting out of this game. In that low scoring game, both defenses were dominating. It was really about a game of inches. Who's going to make the first mistake? Maybe who's going to make the first turnover, even though there was no turnovers. So the first quarter was, I think, the game to be expected. But after that, then it changed and it turned and it was, you know, for the better for the Rams fans. But the first quarter, it was tense and it was solid gameplay by both sides. You know, both teams were going for the quick game, both offenses going for the quick and easy game, both defenses playing tough, a couple of three and out. So first quarter was tense.
It was another great performance by Matthew Stafford. He finishes the game 27 of 38 for 343 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was only sacked one time, going up against the championship defense of the Buccaneers with a lot of big names out there, pass rushers. You know, we could start there with the pass rush. What were your thoughts on the Rams offensive line? Because it seems as though Stafford and McVay had a lot of options available to them today.
Offensive line for the Rams, again, man, they're holding up, you know, compared to, you know, what we kind of anticipated in that a little bit of a question mark to start the season. But they're holding up. Stafford has enough time to go through his reads. And as you get, you know, as we saw, even give enough time for receivers to get downfield. So it's not all, we're not limited to the short game as far as what our protection is allowing us. So really nice. And so far so good. And you're right that this was the good look against one of the best defenses, pass rushes in the league. So I think they did their part. Offensive line did a great job.
Stafford couldn't be where he is without the supporting cast. That was the whole point, the whole problem in Detroit, right? It was that he needed a better supporting cast. And so if Stafford didn't succeed more so with the Rams than he had with the Lions, and by the way, you know, the Rams are 3-0. That doesn't happen very often. Not only the Rams 3-0, Stafford has 9 touchdowns. Blaine, do you know the last time the Rams were 3-0 with a quarterback who had 9 touchdown passes?
No, when was that?
Kurt Warner, 1999. So, all right. You know, there are a lot of ways that I can compare Matthew Stafford and Kurt Warner in 1999 right now, ways that would even be favorable to Matthew Stafford. Although I will say Kurt Warner in 99, totally different era of football. He changed the game of football, as did the rest of those Rams. But, Stafford's up there right now. You know, he's got 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. He couldn't have done it without supporting cast. We talk about the offensive line. Me and you have talked a lot about DeSean Jackson and Van Jefferson, but today's game, it was DeSean Jackson, 3 catches for 120 yards, a touchdown, had a 75-yard touchdown. You were there, witnessed it for yourself with the whole field view. Well, how would you describe what you saw out of DeSean Jackson today?
Well, talk about getting him involved, huh? As far as where the missing piece in the first two games, and then getting him involved not only as a matter of offensive snaps and getting him on the field, but he had that one big hit that kind of was the game changer at the beginning of the second half. But also, we saw two misses deep from DeSean Jackson right off the bat. One, you could say, was tough. I mean, maybe a underthrow a little bit by Stafford. The second one, Stafford takes a hit as he's getting the ball off. But what you did see in the first half was DeSean Jackson getting behind the defense and threatening until finally we hit in the beginning of the second half and capitalize on that deep threat.
Yeah, and one thing that Matthew Stafford has capitalized on week in and week out is the presence of Cooper Kupp. He has 12 targets today out of 38 pass attempts. That's almost a third. He went into the game with something like 40% of the target share. So Cooper Kupp is Matthew Stafford's favorite player. It hasn't been any dispute in that. And Cooper Kupp keeps coming through, so there's no reason for him not to do that. 9 catches for 96 yards, 2 more touchdowns. Cooper Kupp has 5 touchdowns in the first 3 games. Anytime I see a player put up numbers like that, and the same goes for Stafford, I do now, after seeing it happen over and over again, you have to caution it to be like, yes, this pace won't continue. It will have to take out at some point. There will be a string of games where Kupp has no touchdowns or whatever, and that's fine. But he's just on top of it today. What did you see from Cooper Kupp?
He's the centerpiece of that receiving core. We saw Stafford spread the ball around pretty good. I mean, Higbee was another big part of the offensive game plan today. So I was really happy to see how they got Higbee involved today. But at the same time, while we're targeting Higbee, targeting DeSean Jackson, Woods got his share. It kind of goes through Cooper Kupp. The threat of Cooper Kupp working the slot, working the middle of the field, opens everything up. But at the same time, he's still probably our most reliable target on third down and our most threatening, run after catch weapon. So I got to say, if it's not touchdowns, we're going to see Cooper Kupp be a consistent part of this offensive attack.
The only thing that's really been consistent so far about the usage of Robert Woods has been that there hasn't been a lot of usage of Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a fear of Robert Woods sort of disappearing in a Matthew Stafford-led offense because mm-hmm. the Rams did re-up Robert Woods. You think that there was there's always been a plan to get him more involved. He did have 9 targets last week against the Colts, but he only had 64 yards. Today he had 6 targets, but he only had 3 catches for 33 yards. Any way that you think, if the Rams are doing this well right now, do they still need to concern themselves with how to get Robert Woods involved, or is this an acceptable game plan?
Well, for this year, for the short term, I would say that, one of the special things that you hear McVay talk about, Kupp and Woods, is their team mentality. I'm pretty convinced that Woods and Kupp at this point, at least for the season, are prioritizing, championship, Super Bowl season. So you got two really good, solid team players there. So at least for this season, it's going to be spread the ball around, do what we got to do. But you also see Woods lining up in the backfield, like we saw Kupp lining up in the backfield. They're handing the ball off to Robert Woods. So I think it's going to still be a concerted effort to make sure that he's still a threat to get the ball one way or another. But he's going to contribute in the way of his blocking contribution, drawing the defense, just being a threat. But yeah, I got to say that we got a lot of weapons. So to say, if we see Woods fall off track for a 1,000-yard season, I wouldn't be surprised. But at the same time, this well-rounded receiving core is kind of what you need and kind of what might take us over the hump.
Yeah, and this is still a team where Stafford spread around targets to 6 different players: DeSean Jackson, Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, Tyler Higbee, Robert Woods, Sony Michel. And really, he spread it out evenly to everybody except for Kupp. And we don't even get involved with Tutu Atwell or Jacob Harris or Ben Skowronek or whatever. At this point, none of those guys would be involved in the offense. But even the fact that past the guys who are getting targets and not getting targets, there's still more interesting players who aren't even getting targets. So the depth there is pretty impressive for the Rams. Although today we did see Tyler Higbee get injured for a short amount of time. And, you know, that is not an area of depth for the Rams. Bryson Hopkins was inactive, another healthy scratch for Bryson Hopkins, not looking super good there optimistically. But the Rams defense, you know, it's kind of an interesting place to be in right now in this time of football, because you would say that the Rams had a good defensive performance, I think, except at the end of the day, they also had a quarterback. Tom Brady goes 41 of 55 for 432 yards and a touchdown. But despite those numbers, Blaine, it seems like the Rams did a fine job against Tom Brady. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, no touchdown. So, but you're right that
one touchdown. Well, there was one.
One touchdown. But in the sort of garbage time, you're right. But otherwise, you're right. It's bend don't break defense that we've been seeing over the three games. That's gonna be. We've been playing tough games, like I said, the playoff teams for the first three games. So, if we can make these red zone stops, if we can give up yardage but not touchdowns, then that's gonna be enough, especially with this defense. I mean, I'm sorry, especially with this offense scoring and moving the ball the way that we are.
Yeah, it does feel to me like, even though it seems so obvious, I do think that it is a big statement. You know, the fact that the Rams, I went into the season thinking that the Rams were the best team in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I've thought that since the trade for Matthew Stafford, I've picked them to go to the Super Bowl. I've thought Rams, you know, until somebody else answers the Stafford move, I'm going to pick the Rams. I know the Bucks were bringing everybody back and all that, but teams don't tend to repeat. I think that the Bucks up until today did look like, a great team. Although, they also have allowed high scores now for all of their games. So I don't know if the Bucks feel that they have a championship defense right now, or if Tampa Bay fans feel that way. But after three games, and I know that the Rams, it's easy to say right after beating the Bucks, I feel like, how can you not say that this isn't the best team in the NFL right now? Mm-hmm. And, that doesn't necessarily matter in January, but right now, Blaine, I think the Rams are the best team in the NFL.
Well, today was a good test, right? I mean, so many rankings had the Rams and the Bucks, at least top five. A lot of them had the Bucks and the Rams 1 and 2. So in a lot of people's eyes, this was the matchup between 1 and 2. And the Rams, had control most of the game and came out clearly on top. I'd say at the moment, the Rams, I would certainly rank as the top team in the NFL. I'll tell you what is interesting is that next week we invite the Cardinals, who are also 3-0 after winning today. So I'm sure they'll be chirping a little bit about, about who's what. But at the moment, we beat the champs, and today was a good test.
I'm so curious, you brought it up. I'm so curious to see what Kyler Murray will do in the game and what he'll do this season. For that reason, I can't confidently say that the Rams will beat the Bucks, just because I'm so curious to see Kyler Murray. But outside of that Kyler Murray thing, I would have no problem being like, oh, that team is 3-0 and they're coming to they're coming to SoFi. They're done. Mm-hmm. They're finished. They're out. Mm-hmm. They're finito. Like, to me, like, anybody that comes in right now is finito. So yet Kyler Murray, very interesting. The other 3-0 teams, by the way, are the Broncos, the Panthers, and the Raiders. No other teams. So right now the Rams, there's no other 3-0 team other than the Cardinals that is even close to them in talent, I think.
Yeah, you're right. That the Packers are not 3-0. Neither are the Saints. So you're right. It's kind of good for the Broncos and the Raiders. The NFC West is still the toughest division in the league, and all four teams are going to think that they got the edge and are gonna win this thing. But the Cardinals got some good momentum right now. So I think through the week, you'll hear some talk about the Cardinals wanting to take a shot at the Rams and kind of do to the Rams what the Rams did to the Bucks today. But, you know, given how the Rams look, that's going to be a tall task.
Looking at some winners on the defensive side of the ball, Kenny Young had 10 tackles, mm-hmm. 3 tackles for a loss. He had a sack. He was all over the field, maybe feeling a little bit angry over the flag he received and the ejection we received last week, perhaps. What did you see from Kenny Young?
Yeah, I agree that, you know, first of all, he stayed out of trouble and no penalties of that type. But yeah, he was pretty solid. I mean, the defense altogether played a pretty solid game. You know, no big explosive plays. Again, we had control of them for most of the game. A lot of three and outs. But Kenny Young and the linebacking crew all together, Justin Hollins, even Terrell Lewis, showing up in the right spots at the right time to contribute.
By the way, I'm just noticing now that Ben Skowronek had 2 tackles today. I mean, if he had 2 tackles on special teams, that's pretty good day, pretty good NFL debut for Ben Skowronek. Speaking of new guys that were supposed to play more, Justin Hollins had an early tackle for a loss, then he left the game. And I know that there hasn't been an update on Justin Hollins at this point. So that's one of the things to take into consideration, is whether or not anything negative happened to Justin Hollins. Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald each had a sack as well. So sacking Tom Brady 3 times, not easy to do. If people had to call out, you know, winners and losers, I know that at least in the Turf Show Times comment section, there were a lot of concerns about Taylor Rapp as the safety in coverage. Of course, going against the Bucks, you've got some of the best receivers in the NFL. Tampa Bay didn't have Antonio Brown today. But any thoughts on the coverage, the safeties in coverage, anything in terms of being any concerns there moving forward?
Yeah, I would say both sides. I mean, I would say that we did a good job kind of keeping everything in front of us. So the completions that we were giving up, you know, were in front of us, not behind us. But yeah, if I had to call out one defender in the defense or secondary that probably struggled the most, it would be Taylor Rapp, you know, a step behind his guy in coverage. But also there was one play, a post up the middle where he made the touchdown saving tackle. So, you know, I think that one sort of the almost big play that they had, Jordan Fuller got sucked up to the intermediate area, and Taylor Rapp made the touchdown saving tackle. But so I'd say both sides for Taylor Rapp. I gotta say that, yes, if there was a guy that was a step behind his man the most, it would be Taylor Rapp, but you gotta give him credit for saving a big play.
Good call out there from Blaine the Fiasco, Taylor Rapp fan Didasco, coming through with a shout out for that touchdown saving tackle. We've given a lot of guff, you know, speaking of giving guff, the Rams fans have given a lot of guff and to the special teams. So we have to give them a round of applause. Matt Gay, 2 of 2 on field goals and 4 of 4 on extra points. Johnny Hecker had 3 punts. They all went inside the 20 at least. And Tutu Atwell, welcome to the NFL, 9-yard punt return. What were your thoughts on the special teams?
Yeah, I mean, when we saw Tutu, the rookie, I mean, main thing is just the way that this game was going. You had a feeling it was going to come down to, like I said, the turnover or the muffed play. So as a rookie, especially, you know, don't drop it. Don't give it away. In the Rams history, since we've been back in L.A., you know, we've had some trouble with that. So the first thing you got to do is secure the football. And Tutu did his part on that note. So kudos to the defense. I mean, to the special teams for that. Compared to the blunder that we had last week, none of that. Instead, we're pegging them inside the 20 with our punts. So good day for the special teams.
Let's end on this. I'm going to put you on the spot, Blaine. Give me 3 things you want to see from the Rams next week against the Cardinals. You know, we've seen there are, you know, a lot of stuff where it's, we want to maybe see a breakout game or a player to continue to be on a hot streak or a player to be put in a position to start or anything like that, or just maybe a Rams win. What would you like to say? Well, go bigger than a Rams win, but three things you want to see against the Cardinals next Sunday.
Sure. Number one is contain Kyler Murray. You know, we've done a good job with these mobile quarterbacks in the past last couple of years. So continue to see that, contain Kyler Murray. Let's see, you know, and second, some turnovers. We didn't get any today. So if we can, we want to be averaging one or two turnovers a game, get back to where we were last year to be reliably getting the ball back for the offense. That would be number two. And I think number three, like you said, let's start to see maybe Van Jefferson, Robert Woods. Let's establish a couple more offensive weapons. If not, you know, Sony Michel, but let's start to establish some more weapons moving forward in the next game. That's what I look forward to.
Yep. Huge matchup next week. 3-0 versus 3-0. And the 49ers are 2-0. They'll be playing right now as we speak against the Packers. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what their result is. The Seahawks fall to 1-2 with a loss to the Vikings. So Seattle may surprisingly slipping away early on in the year. But the Rams 3-0 and doing so in fashion against a team that hadn't lost in 10 straight games, a team that hadn't fallen this far behind in their last 8 games in any game. So it's a very convincing win at home against Tom Brady and a lot of guys that have a Super Bowl ring. So the Rams would like to take those away from them. Sony Michel, 20 carries for 67 yards. We didn't even talk about Sony Michel, but he picked up his yards per carry average with a 15-yard run late in the game. But there wasn't a ton of room to run against the Bucs, who have the number one run defense. So not that crazy. The good news is Sony Michel had some huge pass blocks. He really seems to be handling himself well back there. And I think that today's performance is enough to convince Sean McVay he doesn't need to rush Daryl Henderson back. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You know, he was serviceable. People were talking about he's got to contribute and hold his own and in the rush game, but also his pass protection. And so like we talked about earlier, the pass protection held up. So you're right. I think that the reason why we brought him in, the veteran running back, is to handle all these, a basic run attack, if not an explosive one, and then do his part in the pass blocking schemes. So I think Sony Michel proved his worth to that degree in today's game.
Absolutely. All right. That's it for the Instant Reaction Show here for Turf Show Times. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Spotify. I believe we're on Spotify. So you got Spotify, go find the Turf Show Times podcast. Subscribe to us anywhere you can, or just listen to right here on turfshowtimes.com. Check out all the post-game, pre-game, during-game review, all that kind of stuff at Turf Show Times. This is it for the episode. Come back. Thanks again to Blaine Didasco. Check out his posts over on turfshowtimes.com, as well as myself. And we'll be back next week with an instant reaction to whatever happens against the Cardinals.